Hi, this is Bill Caskey back at the Advanced Selling Podcast. You can probably tell that there is no other voice here today, so you know that Brian Neal is out of the office today and unable to join us on the podcast. He'll be back next time. I did have a chance to talk with John Jantz. John is a friend of the show. He's written several books. His original book was Duct Tape Marketing. You can find him at ducttapemarketing.com. I'm going to play that entire interview. I will tell you that one of the problems with trying to do my own engineering is that I messed up somehow here, and the sound quality was not great. It's listenable. The content is outstanding, but you can blame me if the voice quality is not the same as usual. Also, I want to ask a favor. We've really increased our listenership over the last 6 months. Our downloads have almost doubled. And we'd like you to add a review. Write an iTunes review. You can go to iTunes to the podcast page and just write a short note about what you get out of it. If you have a critique, that's fine. If you have a suggestion, that's fine. But we'd love to hear your opinion. We get a lot of LinkedIn group emails that come in from members of the Advanced Selling Podcast LinkedIn group, but we'd love to have that in a more public forum. So if you wouldn't mind, take a couple minutes and write a review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, here's the interview I did with John. We're speaking today with John Jantz, proprietor, owner of ducttapemarketing.com. John is a friend of our show, friend of ours over the past few years. He's been on, I think, our podcast two or three times. He's author of The Referral Engine, The Commitment Engine, and the first in that series, which was an awesome book. All three of them are, but I still refer to my original copy of Duct Tape Marketing, D-U-C-T, Tape Marketing. John Jantz, welcome to the show again.
Always great to be here, Bill.
So we were talking in the pre-show planning that I was asking you a little bit about what are you seeing. You know, you speak to a lot of groups, you work with a lot of sales organizations, marketing organizations, you're all over the place. And I would say if anybody has the pulse of what's happening in the whole business development lead generation category, it's John Jantz, it's you. So I want to bend your ear a little bit and find out a little bit about what you're seeing. But first, you're involved in a very special project. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and see if any of our listeners might want to join you on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. Well, so the basic idea behind Duct Tape Marketing in general is to create a marketing system. I wanted to go out and create something where I could walk into a business and say, you know, here's what I'm going to do, here's what you're going to do, here are the results you can expect, and here's what it's going to cost. And so because of that approach, I really have been able to put together various formats, obviously doing it one-on-one, teaching it, various types of engagements. And so I am partnered with an organization called Creative Live, and we are going to do a full three days, about 18 hours in total, of where I'm going to have in the studio eight small business owners, and I'm just going to work with them. It's going to be a live, broadcast streamed workshop that anybody can tune into for free, and they will get to witness really all of the teaching that I do around the Duct Tape Marketing system, but then also individually coaching these business owners that are with me. So,
wow.
I think it'll be exhausting.
That's cool. Yeah, I think so.
But very cool.
Yeah, that is so neat. How do people get on the list for that?
I would just recommend, because it's front and center on their page. Creative Live does a lot of these educations, very professional organization. It'll be in a studio, three, four cameras. So just go to creativelive.com. And if you're interested in photography or in yoga or some other things like that, you can find courses on that too. But then they have a business channel, per se, and I think I'm one of the next shows up. So fortunately, kind of front and center feature.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. And also, make sure you go to John's blog too at ducttapemarketing.com. You can find the blog from there. He writes almost every day and just has some awesome content. Well, let's talk a little bit about just what you're seeing, some trends. It's been a year since we've talked. I don't know that the trends have changed that much, but tell me two or three things that you're seeing companies struggle with that maybe there are solutions to that they just don't know there are solutions to.
Well, I think if we're going to talk first about trends, I would say the trend that is continuing. So since we talked last time, maybe it's up 10 points or something. But the trend that's really continuing is that buyers, whether they're B2B or B2C, are increasingly depending less and less on marketing and sales to really start their process of research, to in many cases sometimes to make their decision. Mm-hmm. I read a statistic the other day that said 65% of B2B purchases now, the decision maker has in many cases eliminated many of the options before they ever get in your funnel.
Wow.
anymore, and I think that that's that is only going to continue. it certainly heightens this idea that sales and marketing, you know, I used to do presentations all the time for organizations, you know, how to get sales and marketing on the same page.
Well, right.
I think in a lot of ways the consumer has forced them on the same page, and there's no longer this division. I think that marketing has to be much more flexible, has to be much more useful. Mm-hmm. And I think that salespeople can no longer depend on building relationships as a way to get sales. They actually have to go out there and proactively be useful as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that term a lot, relationships. And I, while I like the term, I think sometimes it's a it's a reason not to do the other thing. So the salesperson, they think their only role is to go out and develop relationships, and I think their role is expanded from that. Yes, relationships are important, face to face is important, showing up, taking people lunch is important, but you've also got to do the things that even get you introduced to those people, which is could be social media, could be publishing good content, it could be speaking at events, it could be a host, teleseminars, could be a host of things. I think that a lot of times people just want to go talk to someone. And while that's admirable, it's not the whole picture, is it?
Well, and I think that the expectations have changed, too. I'm sorry. I'm perfectly happy. I don't want any more friends. Okay, there, I said it. All right, I'm a grump. But, I mean, you know, I think that that's true of the buyer, the general person out there that you might be buying from. They don't want somebody to buy them lunch anymore or buy them drinks.
That's true.
You know, it's can you be of value to me in me getting my objectives made? Can you give me information that allows me to do my own research or self-service in some aspect of it? That's, I think, is what's really dramatically changed, too. I mean, if you were a salesperson trying to call on my company, good luck getting a hold of me.
Yeah.
Because maybe I'm the minority, but I don't think I am.
Probably not. No, I don't think you are.
That if I'm going to have a salesperson work with me on something, and again, I may miss opportunities, but if I'm going to have somebody work with me, they better be bringing me something very valuable. And the steak's not it.
So that brings up the question of one of the things we've talked about in our sales training over the last few years is be valuable before, and I think this is what you're talking about, before the product ships or before the sale is made. And I think it becomes hard sometimes when a salesperson or a company is not wired that way to even think about the sales process itself being valuable. I was on a call a couple days ago with a potential client, and they said, well, how does it work with you? And I said, well, one of the things that if you're going to have us come in and do training, I want to meet your people. And even if it's over a webinar or over some kind of direct video, I want to meet them, and I want them to see us in action. Why would we start and you haven't even seen us train or coach, or you may not like my style? And so they were surprised. They said, you did that for free? I said, well, of course, because I want to make sure this is a good fit. And they said they've talked to several other companies and nobody has ever offered that. And I always feel like, well, maybe I'm a fool for doing that. It takes a little time, but it just solidifies the outcome and the expectation up front.
And I think you're being both a salesperson and a marketer in that thinking, because also what you've probably, well, now I know you've realized that that not a good fit goes both ways.
It does.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
You may not want them. You may not want them as a customer as well.
Absolutely goes both ways. Especially, I mean, if we're shipping chairs or shipping, you know, containers from abroad, I'm not sure how much I care about their personal integrity. But when you're with them, like you are with your clients and I am with ours, it makes a heck of a difference.
Well, and I think also one of the things that I know you're very focused on, and I think all successful organizations are focused on, is you're not in this just to take a check. You're in this to get them some results. And I think that you've seen, as I have too, if organizations aren't a good fit, if they're not going to do what you know they need to do, then they're not going to get the result. And while that sucks the life out of you and it's not very much fun, and it also, to some degree, I think, robs you of the ability to help somebody who can get the result.
Absolutely, yeah. Last time you were on, I remember distinctly you talking about your company story or your personal story or just your story. And I wonder if you've done any more work on that. We have really incorporated that as a result of that conversation and others we've had. We think it's so important the salesperson who's calling on the prospect get their story out there, and not the 10-minute version, but maybe the 1 or 2 minute version. We think it's a really good way to connect with someone at an emotional level. But we also feel like people are very reluctant to do that. It's almost like it's too emotional. And we're not even talking about, you know, I was in jail when I was 18. Not that kind of story, but the story of here's what I've learned through life, here are some of the mistakes I've made, here are some of the decisions we've made. Tell us a little bit about how you encourage and educate people on how to tell that story so that they start to differentiate themselves from everybody else in the jungle.
Yeah, I mean, it is probably the greatest opportunity for you to differentiate because it is the one thing that truly is unique to every single person, right, is their story. And so I think the real key, as you sort of alluded to there, though, is why does that matter to the listener? Because I really think that, and we can get, you know, we can really get deep into to mythology and sociology here if you like. But I think that, that there's no question we learn better from stories. We connect with stories. And, you know, every one of our customers has a story. And I think the real key is to find, you know, how does that story benefit them in a way? How does that story deliver value? You know, a great story for a salesperson is, you know, why I work for this organization.
Yeah, that's right.
What I believe in that this organization does, and why I left what I was doing before so that I could be a part of this team or part of this journey. And I think that all of a sudden is a story that you could again, with the caveat that it be authentic, that you could and should be, you know, screaming from the rooftops, because I think that does it really, you know, you've seen it with salespeople that maybe on paper or on test somewhere that didn't really score like that slam dunk salesperson, but they were so right. passionate about what they were doing or what the company was doing that they outsold everyone.
Yeah, that's so true. Last question today, and John Jantz is with us. You can find him at ducttapemarketing.com. Also, you can go to creativelive.com to be a part of John's 3-day, and you have to spend every minute of those 3 days watching John. You can't leave. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a 3-day...
The good news is they're going to record it, so you can come back and watch it over and over and over again.
But it's an awesome project, so definitely go to creative.com, creativelive.com. Last question, are there any tools? I know that on your blog you mentioned tools, and you're really a proponent of things to make life easier for sales and marketing people. What are a couple tools you're recommending salespeople especially start to explore and get familiar with to see if that would help them in this whole game of generating business and revenue?
Well, I'll probably get myself in trouble with some sales managers hear this one, but
you probably will. You know, but that's okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of sales organizations give salespeople a CRM system and a lead scoring system and a lead tracking system that's really all about kind of moving or shoving people through in a certain way and making the most efficient use of their time. And I think that, you know, even though we talked about this idea of that people don't want relationships, once you deliver value, I think they do want relationships.
Yes.
And, you know, at that point, it's like, what else can you do for me? Who else can you introduce me to? You know, you've proven your worth. Now let's go much deeper. And so one of my favorite tools right now is a very lightweight CRM system called Nimble. Mm-hmm. And again, I know a lot of organizations are given, here's your CRM system, but I think there's room actually to keep two sets of books, if you will.
Yep.
and really have your own kind of top 100 relationships, perhaps.
It's a great idea.
In a lightweight system like Nimble. And the thing that I love about it is it integrates with most of the email systems, and it gives you the ability to bring in all of your prospects or customers' social graph. And so, you know, as long as you have their email, it's going to suck in their Twitter and their Facebook and LinkedIn and Google Plus and act as kind of a unified messaging center for everything they're saying, everything people are saying to them. Obviously, any of your conversation back and forth with them, if you've retweeted something that they wrote, it's going to show up in there. So it really just kind of brings this great amount of useful, I think, potentially information into a very simple record.
Wow, that's a great tip. So what you're saying is if my company is using Salesforce or Zoho or one of the big ones, I could just use Nimble. Is it like a monthly fee kind of thing, a low monthly fee?
That's right, and it's all cloud-based. And,
all cloud-based.
It's a monthly fee. And Yeah. And there's, you know, you can set up tasks and you can set up, I mean, if people do use it as their standalone CRM. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you can do all the lead tracking and scoring and some of the things that, you know, what I find happens sometimes is a lot of really effective salespeople, you know, succeed by developing tools in spite of what's been handed them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think the whole lead tracking.
All kinds of trouble.
Yeah, well, no, you're right, though. And I think sales managers even admit that. And so this whole, the CRM space is just, we get calls a lot. Well, how do we get our salespeople to use it? Well, maybe there's no way. You know, I'm convinced that maybe the whole thing is a little flawed.
One last comment.
Sure.
So many of those CRM systems are designed as a way to really monitor sales activity and not necessarily build relationships. And I think that that's why people don't use them.
They say they're for forecasting, but I'm not. I think it's more of a monitoring tool for most people. John Jantz, really a pleasure to talk with you again, and thank you so much for carving a few minutes out of your day. And people can go to creativelive.com to watch you, or go to ducttapemarketing.com to subscribe, and you've got all sorts of great free stuff there. And John, awesome having you on the show today.
My pleasure, Bill.
See you next time.
This podcast presented by Caskey, leaders in sales training and executive coaching. You can learn more about Caskey at caskeyone.com.